Welcome back to episode 5 of Left is Right NASCAR podcast. Matt and Bryn, what's up, gentlemen?
Mr. Sands, hello, sir. Another great weekend of racing, if I'd say so myself.
Matt's about to tell us the new design for his Martin Truex lower back tattoo.
I don't know if I'm going with the 78 or the 19, but, you know, definitely working on that. But
might as well go with the 56 too and go for the trifecta.
Oh, the 56 with the arrows. Maybe I'll do that. 56, 2, 78, 2, 19.
Yep.
You know, I learned this week that if Junior had his way, he would have been driving for Hendrick. But, you know, what can you do? What can you do? It's all right. Everything works out, buddy.
It ain't like he ended up at Rick Ware Racing, so it's all right.
Well, I can't wait to talk about that. Those guys.
That'll be good.
So, yeah, it's a big weekend at Martinsville. Another rain-filled event, but got it done eventually.
Hey, at least
didn't get Sunday off.
Sunday night, not Monday.
Yeah. True. Valid. And, you know, if what Clint Boyer said in the race broadcast, there's something coming our way that might have a name. So, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that might have been the best race this year, I think.
It sure was, 100%.
From my turn around, the top 10 was a completely different set of drivers. It was just like, oh, shuffle the field again. It was great.
We learned post-race that there was drivers flipping drivers off for whole laps. I don't know how that's possible. But
one hand on the wheel.
At Martinsville, no less, right? You're still holding 70 mile an hour in the corner, right? Yeah. Oh, what a place. It definitely moved up the list of tracks I'd like to visit in the short term, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's funny because we talked about that like in the opposite way last week. You know, we were saying that Martinsville and short track racing in general, you know, outside of like Bristol, right, was like from a viewpoint of ours was boring, right? Slow speeds, like not much action, but if you pay attention, you would, and we're probably about to tell everybody, is it's quite opposite of that this past weekend.
Yeah. I mean, the guys they put on a good show. They were, because it is kind of like a one line racetrack, which I guess is always been the thing that NASCAR and the tracks are concerned about, you know, talking about putting traction compound on the high line to make sure that they can, guys can run up there. But at Martinsville, guys, they just send it and try to make the pass under braking to the inside and see if it sticks. And it makes for lots of door slamming. But
yeah, they were chomping like alligators like crazy on the from high coming down at the on corner exit. Everybody was.
three wide in Martinsville. Like, what is going on? At one point, Martin Truex pinballed back and forth between two cars. It was inside and outside. And Stenhouse did it for like 3 laps, which was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But what a place. What a place. And Brent, to your point, I think, yes, NASCAR tries to avoid the single line racetracks. But at this track, if the fast line is the low line, they're bumping each other out of the way, right? So, and at the low speeds, you can actually spin and not completely destroy your car. So,
right. It's a cool place. Going as far as that, you can bump somebody and not turn them around.
Yes, you can move them, right? So, only problem is they have a chance to retaliate, but, you know, that's what makes racing good.
I think when you talk about retaliate, I think toward the end of the race there, when Truex was headed toward the front, I think he got around Logano. He moved him pretty hard.
Oh, he did. Okay.
He did.
Okay,
right. I wanted to, right. That, I had, that's the only like logical scribbled down thing I have. I have it written on a Word document on my computer. that occurred. Oh, okay. And I wanted to make sure it got discussed.
And I'm like
sure that it's noted.
He lifted, though, and gave him the spot back, right? On the back straight? Which was interesting, sportsmanlike, and also very smart, and I think Clint picked up on it, was that he had gotten himself punted by Logano if he hadn't done that.
Yeah, Captain Insano shows no mercy, right?
Yes. But yeah, definitely a great race, and you know, had two great races, had a first time winner in the Xfinity series.
Yeah,
and I'm getting sick of hearing about it, but you know, good for that.
Yeah,
good
but
for
it's Josh. such a good story for sure. Josh Berry, right, getting it done, and where he's come from, and you know, certainly deserving of a win.
Oh, 100% correct. Don't get my my animosity confused. It's more of just I listened to Junior's podcast today.
Well, yeah, okay. So that was a shrine, right, of the Josh Berry episode.
And I'm like, I normally enjoy that podcast and say, I'm like, all right, I had enough. You know, okay, great. You know, and you know what? He did put the kid worked. He's been crew chief and, you know, for the team, right, in the late models, which is awesome. So gave him plenty of experience, got him set up now. And, you know, and what's missing sometimes is, you know, drivers knowing how to set up a car, right?
Yeah.
And just having that now you're not doing it yourself, right, in his case, but now he can actually communicate with the crew chiefs and say, no, this is off, or no, this doesn't feel right, or no, put, you know, X, Y, and Z into it to make it work. So I think Junior did it right, and, you know, he's been fighting for, what, 10 years now. So good for him.
Yeah, he definitely stroked him off on that podcast.
Oh, God, it drove. I'm just, you know, and I like it. I do enjoy that podcast, right? A lot of the history stuff I thoroughly enjoy, but this week I'm like, okay, you know, we get it, you know.
I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting Josh Berry to be on the episode. I feel like that was probably a last-minute decision after the win.
The kid's been everywhere. The kid, he was on another one I was listening to. I'm like, man, he hasn't slept in 3 days. He's been calling in all these different shows. So,
well, it's Junior. You know, it's the, right, you're talking about, you know, one of NASCAR's most popular drivers of all time, right? And anything Junior does in that world is, you know, over the last couple of years since he's gotten out, right, it's been gold. It's been gold.
100%. And so, even now with the rumors of, you know, him and his sister talking about going to Cup.
Oh yeah, I read that one. That was exciting.
Yeah,
sure, we all hope that happens.
Yeah, he's definitely got a. We'll see. You know, he talked a little bit about the financial side of, again, this week, and you know, how it operates, right, and what it does. And we've talked about it here, about the sponsorship money and how that makes the sport go round. And there are certainly some teams who can compensate by leveraging their own money. But that doesn't seem the way that they run that business, at least from what he says to the public. So
he's breaking even, he says. So
yeah, it's not for profit, right? It's not in the charity sense, but like it's you know, as the team owner, he's not the one paying the bill. The sponsorship money is paying him to pay the bill.
and right, and he talked charters, right? And that's the way to go, right? And, you know, I know a team that should probably give up their charters at this moment, which we'll discuss later, because they have four of them, right? This team we'll discuss. And I'm sure that if he could sell one, maybe he could hire a halfway decent driver. But, you know, we'll see, man. Yep. Apparently, the new car is making a little more financial sense for teams starting off. So, I was glad to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. So, after that, then later on, we'll get into Richmond coming up this weekend and, you know, get into some picks, I guess.
Oh, we do. And very interesting week this week. So
you want to just hit the review of the last week's picks?
You want to do that? Okay, let's do that up front. So right off the bat, so I took, and you know what I didn't have pulled up, and I should have pulled up, is last week's running. Here we go. Okay, so I was first to pick, so I will go first. I had Ryan Blaney as my race winner.
Close,
for a while
he did
there.
Well, he did.
I was looking good.
He won the stages.
and what, you know, it's a team sport, right? And what gets you at the end is pulling a pulling an air gun out of the pit box real late in the race. And that was it for that team. So way to go, me. That was a good one. And he ended up, where did he finish the race? Ryan Blaney ended up in 11th. So not too bad for removing removing pit equipment from the box.
Yeah,
somebody at DeWalt or Milwaukee trying to get a foot in the door with their battery powered impact because of that.
Yeah,
not a bad thought. And the impacts, and there's been a couple years ago, that was a huge topic because teams were modifying their air guns, right? Apparently spending all this money in R&D on the air guns that the lower teams couldn't compete. So NASCAR now actually hands them out. So
that's smart.
If they find a way, they will, right?
Right. It's
going to change next year with the single, I think gain there. We've just got one large castle nut, if you will, of things.
How many Ugga Lugs? That will change, right? How long you leaving her on there?
I wonder what the penalty is for missing center lock will be next year.
You lose a wheel.
This time it's 10 grand, but next year, Jesus, firstborn, left
next
arm.
Next year it fixes itself.
It's a self. Oh my God, it's going to be change, right? The good old change. But yeah, so I was close on that one, but I did have my dark horse as Austin Dillon ended up in 14th. So,
oh, really? Right. He was in fun. Okay. I didn't realize that's where he finished.
Yeah. God, the Dillons. I don't know.
He's okay. He's having a decent season.
I know he is. And I did I'm onto this theory that whoever calls the truck or Xfinity race for Fox does well the next day, right? Yeah. And he was up there with Blaney, so that's why I took him. So
he was, yeah. I didn't even know that was happening. If you said it last week, I totally glassed over it.
I say a lot of things, my friend, so I don't doubt you. So my care center pick was Christopher Bell, where did he end up? Mr. Bell.
Seventh.
Yeah, I did good on that one. So
finished. Man, all your picks finished in the top 15. Right?
Oh, yeah. God. I want that to be 2 out of 3, not 3 out of 3, but what can you do?
I was picking for 1, 2, 3, yeah. God.
But I did do very well on my fantasy draft. Fantasy points there. So
you did. You did.
I did.
I did until Hamlin, led 99% of the race and then, didn't when it mattered.
For the second time. So.
Unlike his business partner who, won when it mattered.
Very true. Very true. And willed his way to do it if he wasn't feeling it, right? So.
Come on, Denny.
Denny. So, Adam, you took Denny Hamlin. Yeah. Right, as you just stated. And where did he – was he third. In the wreck?
No, third, no. Right?
Yeah. Okay, he didn't. All right, way to go. Mark that down as a 3 for you. You're welcome. And you also took his other team, Bubba Wallace, and they did have a little – they almost had a run in there. And you let him go.
Yeah.
You let him go, which is okay. He doesn't want to spend
Bubba was doing. But... Bubba was doing fairly well and then didn't at the end. I was in pre was running in the 9-10 hole there with what was it 60 to go.
He had a slow pit stop too.
Yeah.
I think that something that's been weak the whole time with 23-11. So something to work on.
Sure, not surprising, the pit stop kind of If he could have had a good pit stop there, who knows, right?
Very true. Very true. And Adam, I must say, our first care center interview this week that I noted was Daniel Suarez.
Was it the first one?
That's what I wrote in my notes, unless someone has something different.
That was the thing. There was a shitload of cautions. There's actually 15. And that's what I was trying to look at real quick. Because there was a ton of stuff. But, being so slow and everybody kind of keeping it out of the wall, right, until that big one in the final stage.
Until we had multiple vehicles on fire. Yeah. So we had the 37 car with a spin, the 1 and the 43 car with a spin, right? But I noted that Mr. Suarez was the first care center interview, And okay. Woods kind of support that because he ended up in 32nd place.
Yeah.
So, Adam, for 2 weeks in a row, congratulations on picking your – actually, no, not 2 weeks ago. You had another win in Atlanta. Yeah. You picked it, right?
Yeah. No, I had 2 weeks – right? I had Corey LaJoie at Bristol. Did I not?
Did you? I'm sorry. I was looking at Brent's. He had Daniel Suarez. So – You 2 weeks in a row. Way to go, Care Center.
Yeah.
Chase Edwards is in your all time. What's happening?
Shout out Corey LaJoie. Statistically finished in last this week too. I told you guys he doesn't know what he's doing. It isn't and he claims he's on a good team. Okay. So it's him. Right? It's him then. It's him if he's
on a good team. It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, I'm doing so great at Spire Motors. What?
In that big wreck, there was the number one, the number two, 17, 18, 21, 37, 38, 43, 48, 51, 77, and the 99. And they red flag.
And then the red flag. And then they had to stop the race because of that wreck. And at one point, I didn't realize this during the race broadcast. So Suarez was waiting for his car to get put out. It was on fire after he threw water at Byron because he was upset with him. Yep. Apparently the fire truck pulls up and they pull the hose reel off and the hose was too short. Didn't fill up. So TV didn't catch
hose
that.
But too
that.
Short.
Yeah, rookies, hey, man. Rookies, huh?
Amateurs. Bunch of amateurs running around there. So apparently dude was running with the hose and you know hit the stops. So didn't think
we have folks, we have a volunteer fireman on the show here.
Oh, yeah.
Award-winning volunteer fireman.
That's true.
Oh, sure.
Accomplished. He's accomplished.
Oh, God, to quote one of my favorite movies, Talladega Nights, you know, don't worry, ma'am, I'm a volunteer fireman. After he lights up a cig in the school, so.
I mean, hey, you got us out of the only fiery situation the three of us have ever been in, so.
Oh,
we can't.
What a story!
We gotta wait till the Talladega race to.
It's coming up. We're
it's coming up.
Hold it back.
That's gonna be a 3-hour episode. There's so much. There is so much that went on.
You're gonna need to drop like a video montage on the Twitters.
Just some pictures.
Yeah, just some pics. Just put like a little 20-second video montage together. You know,
of three separate fire incidents that we witnessed.
Okay. Well, we can't say too much.
Not on the track. So,
very true.
Oh, jeez. So, Adam, way to go, buddy. Great picks.
I'm on fire.
Even better picks, in my opinion. Britton P takes my boy Martin Truex to win the race and does it.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, he. You know, like I said, he's a short track guy. Whether he wants to admit it or not.
Pick.
Yep. He's a short track guy.
To go. I like this. Keep this up, Brent. Whatever you're doing, buddy, keep it up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm not picking him this week, so.
On your dark horse, he maintained his dark horse status, Mr. Brad Keselowski, with his 32nd place or 33rd place finish. So.
I remember seeing the in-car, I think from.
He got wrapped up in that same.
Yeah, I probably remember whose in car it was, where you could see Keselowski come rolling in and like almost get stopped and then get punted from the rear.
The little sigh of relief and then the little bumpsy from behind. Not good. So your Care Center pick didn't pan out either. Austin Dillon did finish the race in 14th position, as we said. So
yeah.
But you got the race win, so I am the only one to not do anything with my picks this week. So,
try again, gentlemen.
Way to go,
man! Good stuff.
Yes, it was. It was great stuff. So, what's just? I got my scribble pad here, gentlemen.
Got your notes.
To summarize.
Notes. Note time.
Matt's notes with no gap for sleeping, minus the first 40 laps, which I didn't take any notes for because I did fall asleep, but they rained out, so it worked out for me. So
you want to start with do you have Xfinity notes or just Cup notes?
Only thing I have from Xfinity is Xfinity put down rubber on the track. That's all I put. So I didn't take notes for the Xfinity race, but great race. I know Junior was up there. Junior Motorsports did a great job. Noah Gregson was up there finishing second, so behind his teammate Josh Berry. So I liked it. Great win. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, I'm happy for that team. And, you know, hopefully better things. He's doing well. He's off to a good start. So
you're just ready to move on. You're just ready to move on.
Well, I wish I had more notes. I'm trying to think. It was so, because they started that race, what, Friday night? And yeah. They had to push that all the way to Sunday. So.
Yeah, I was all prepared. I had my whiskey on ice, and I was sitting in the chair and was ready for racing, and then the rain came.
Storms with names showed up and ruined all of them. So anybody who wants to know where it's going to rain next, you know, take a look towards.
Stay tuned until Sunday.
Take a look towards Richmond, Virginia this Sunday. It's probably going to rain. So
they need to get those rain tires going for Martinsville. That would be good stuff. And I don't want NASCAR to be like, oh, it's raining, we're going to throw the caution so you guys can change tires. No, just let them do it like a green flag pit stop. You know, it'll be way more exciting. Because as I think they even talked about it during the, I believe is when they tried to start the cup race and they dried the track off. Pit road was, the crews were like, squeegeeing their pit boxes, like,
yeah,
trying to get them ready, and they came in for maybe it was a competition caution, and you know, coming in on hot slicks, you're fine, you're good, you got traction as long as there's not too much standing water at lower speeds, but you put colder slicks on wet pavement, things get interesting trying to leave pit road. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we witnessed that too. And the rain tires would have been, I'm with you, Brent. I don't think we should be, you know, slowing the field down just so they can change tires. You know, stay out there on slicks if you're feeling dangerous, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, if it's not raining too hard and you keep the heat in the tires, you know, you'd be better off staying out, maybe. But it would make for really good racing because, you know, you get the guys that are going, the rain's going to stop. I'm going to stay on slicks. I'm going to stay out. Versus the guys that try and go get rain tires. It'd be exciting. That's for sure.
Yeah, because that's how F1 does it that way. So not that I like F1, but that's how they do it.
Yeah, it makes sense. It adds an element of strategy, right? And you know, chances are natural selection is going to take over and there will be a caution sometime soon. So like, it isn't like you have to, you know what I mean? Like it's, people will make good choices and some people will make bad choices. There's 40 cars, right? Not everybody hits the nail on the head every time.
Bang. Some people haven't paid their tire bill, so who knows what they got, right? So
paid the tire bill.
Yeah, they got the scrap. They got the scrap from 2 years ago.
Dude's got the file out, cutting grooves in the tire, right?
And if you think, you know, there's a difference between old tires and new tires, you should see the difference between rain tires on a dry track and slicks on a dry track. Mm-hmm. I've been to some amateur road racing events, and one of them was actually at Daytona, where they ran the Daytona road course a few years ago with the SCCA guys. And those guys, they do short races. You know, they're 20 to 25 laps. You know, no pit stops, obviously, and they're done. And there was a series that went out. It had just finished raining. And there was no more rain in the forecast. The track soaking wet. And half the field took rain tires, and half the field went on slicks. And the track dried out halfway through the race, and it was just – there was no contest.
Yeah.
things changed dramatically.
Got all this tire talk. So talk about, you know, teams not paying their tire bill and having to cut grooves in the tire, right? So I got a story that relates, and I don't think either of you have heard this story. So my father served in the Army during Vietnam, right? And he flew a lot from Air Force bases fixing radio equipment, fixing microwave dishes. So he spent a lot of time in C-130s, right? The old dual propeller birds. And he's been, you know, in and out of country, flying now everywhere, all over the place. And he goes to take off, right? He's sitting there in the back in the cargo plane, and the pilot comes down and he's fighting with the crew chief for the plane, right? I'll call him a crew chief. I don't know what they're actually called, right? The maintenance guy. And they're going, there's no groove left on this tire. You can't fly like this. There's no grooves, right? So the guy goes in the back, gets a bastard file out, and is literally cutting grooves into an airplane tire to satisfy his crew chief so they could actually take off. So we're lucky I'm here. That's all I'm saying.
You're good.
Oh, God, we're lucky I'm here. That's all we're gonna say. But yeah, so, you know, the principle maybe applied here in NASCAR and what NASCAR was saying. And, you know, it was a great point that, you know, they ran the Roval, right, in the rain and everything was fine.
Yeah.
So, and that's a mile and a half oval per se. Yeah, they weren't at full speed, but, you know, it's you're still cranking.
Steps. They got to take baby steps, right? So short tracks like Martinsville, like New Hampshire, very flat too, very similar situation. And even this week, like this weekend, Richmond, right? Fairly, I mean, there's a little bit of banking at Richmond, but pretty short place.
Right.
You know, those just start slow and work your way up to the intermediates, you know? Like,
yeah,
like
the only one that I guess I'm concerned about is Martinsville. The straights have no banking, correct?
It's not much if there is.
I think technically they're listed as zero, yeah.
Listed as zero. Really the only issue that would have happened is if the tracks got some low spots, they were into standing water problems.
So that is something that's been discussed already with that is standing water and you know, torrential downpour, like the same policy applies. Like they wouldn't just race through whatever.
Right. That's true.
No, baby steps is the way to go and start with the short tracks and, you know, figure out where's that happy medium where there's too much or, you know, not enough is fine because then we get to play the game of what tires you're running. But, you know, just figuring out when it's too much water is key.
No, in NASCAR, they're going to complicate the shit out of it. There's going to be some poor sucker out there with a 55-gallon drum and it gets half full. It's too much. We'll call it.
Nope. God. But all right, so yeah, let's. What
finish
else did I write
off.
Down?
Finish us off for the cup.
Yeah,
for cup.
Shoot, I wrote a page and a half, so Lord. this is a lot. So right. I was excited that Blaney was out front early, which is great. And I also noted that he was in the booth with Austin Dillon, so for the Xfinity race, and the last time he did that, he won. So that's why I went that way, and I almost paid off if he didn't, you know, decide to take the air gun with him.
He's hot. But, he's hot. He's got it cooking.
I like it, man. I like it. Blaney's just he's just a calm soul out there, you know?
Sure is.
Yeah. Just a calm guy. You know, he reminds me of the cowboy from The Big Lebowski. Right? That's who he reminds me of.
He always seems
got that
to
belt buckle and everything.
Yeah. He always seems to have the long run cars too, which is always way better than a short sprint arrangement, it seems.
They got that set up, man. They do. And, he held, I don't know how many, what was his official lap count, how many laps he ended up winning. I think I do have that.
157.
Yeah. Dude was rocking and rolling. So I also noted lap 240, end of stage two. At that point, Suarez was unlapping himself. Did you guys catch that? He was driving around the leader, and he came back from two laps down and got himself on the lead lap.
That was impressive.
I didn't realize that. Interesting.
Yep.
How did he end up two laps down? Do you remember? I thought he got turned around.
So he was – I'm looking for the 99 in the caution lap. So, yeah, Brandon, he did get – he got caught up in an accident. It actually might have been a little later than they would have been the two laps down. Lap 240. No, that would have been too late. Yeah, he ended up going backwards at the end. But, yeah, I forget. Oh, Brent, he started at the end of the pack, remember, because he had his – they were doing a little funny business with some lead shot.
But, yeah. Yes, he went to the back of the pack to start the race, did he not?
He did. He had a little pee-pee slap. They got a little pee-pee slap for, you know, playing hide the monkey with some lead.
Yeah, it's documented as failed pre-race inspection, but it's – not documented as multiple inspection failures, like, you know, like the number 15 Davison car.
Oh, what a juicy part. But so he ended up, Brent, we'd have to look into that a little more, buddy, but I'm not sure why he ended up in this position he was in, but he ended up unlapping himself, which is insane. So,
yeah, I've never heard of that. It was like, I think he ended up on real fresh tires somehow, and everyone else had older tires, and he was moving.
I'm telling you, this Trackhouse Racing's been impressive. So,
and he's definitely, like, we'll see what happens this coming week, but he's definitely had a good car, right? Except he's getting caught up in stuff, and I don't really think this weekend. I mean, he still owes Byron for sure, and he's quoted as saying that he's going to do that. So,
yeah. Oh God! And then I saw a tweet where he goes, iRacing commented saying. So iRacing commented on Daniel Suarez post, right? iRacing goes, "Hey Daniel, you should have used that water you're throwing at Byron to put the fire out." And he fires back, right? He goes, "You should stick to computer video games."
Oh boy!
Oh God!
Oh man!
So yeah, a little bit of a loose cannon. I think he's doing his own stunts over there on Twitter. So.
He's doing his own stunts. Oh man, yeah, he's fast, when he can keep the, you know, the rubber side down.
Oh God, yeah, he wasn't happy that his car was on fire for a while either. He commented that at the Jamie Little interview. So I don't know what they were doing. They took forever to get to my car. Little do we know, they didn't park the truck close enough. But
your hose was too short.
Once you get out, you're done anyway. So you weren't going to stay in it with it on fire.
No, you weren't. No, you were not.
You're parked. So, get out of the car. It's over.
That's it. Park it. You're done. You're done. But yeah, so stage one, we had Blaney out front, Hamlin and Truex. So they were putting on a clinic there for a while, which was awesome. So what else did I note? We have – oh, here's another good one. So I loaded on lap 290, the 51 car of Rick Ware Racing has brought out three cautions themselves.
Cody Ware. It was Cody Ware himself.
Oh, was it Cody Ware? I'm sorry. Rick Ware Racing. Yep, Cody Ware. Sorry, buddy. Yeah. So he had three cautions himself by that point.
That was I will Mike Joy. The caution comes out on the third one. And Mike Joy goes, and it's Cody Ware again.
Well, what we didn't know what was going on was Rick Ware was imploding as a racing team at that point. So Davidson was spitting him out. They're on the radio going, "Don't you do it. Don't you do it." So, oh, God, what was that team meeting like? The tweets were unbelievable from the radio traffic. Rick Ware Racing himself was on the radio going, "If he does it again, I'm going to park him."
Let's get real. There is no team meetings at Rick Ware Racing. If there was, we wouldn't even be talking about him.
So you think the drivers just show up? Oh, God. Yeah, Brent, sorry, buddy. What you got?
No, this is the kind of thing you expect from, like a 24 Hours of Lemons team. Like spinning out your teammate because it's funny, but at this level with this kind of skin in the game, it is unfathomable. Like I don't know.
Yeah, and the funny part about it, right, is like Cody Ware, right, son of the team owner, right. In this particular race, Cody Ware was ineligible for driver points.
Oh, God.
So like he's not. He's literally, they're just pissing money away here. That's all they're doing. And he wrecked them.
He did. He's going after his literally, well, if you think about it, his own cars. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, right.
Oh, God. Door bumper clear goes, "I don't think they're paying him over there." So, I don't even know. That was something to watch, though. When I realized it was three times. Is there a rule like, you know, fourth time they park you, you get black flagged? Like, what?
I mean, I think NASCAR was probably like, you're wrecking your own team. Like, you know, this is good stuff, you know?
Have at it, right? God. So after that note, I have on lap 322, the 18 car magically spins out. Magically, right? Oh, here we go. Yeah, 322. Look at that. I had it right. So he spins out, and he was just about to go a lap down. And on the radio before it happens, the corner before, he's like, "Something's broken the car. You guys gave me a piece of shit." You know, his typical Kyle Busch stuff. So they bring it in, they pit it. And then Brent, we were texting, we were all texting about it. But Brent goes, we'll see what they say about what's broken on this car. I saw something hanging down. Come to find out, there was nothing wrong with the car. So, it was.
And he finished. He finished 10.
So this is the second time he's done this this year. They don't talk about it, but he spun that thing. He dumped that thing. Tire wasn't down. You know, you're slowest track in NASCAR, and all of a sudden you're having a problem. Get out of here with that 18 Skittles car. The Candyman's a joke. So, oh god.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time until Ty Gibbs gets himself in the 18.
Ty Gibbs was impressive, by the way. If we're jumping back to Xfinity, thanks for bringing that up, Adam. He was going to win that race, man. He was driving that thing. Yeah, so
he's a wheel man. He's proven it.
I'm getting more and more on the Ty Gibbs train and more off of the Rich Grandfather train every time I see him race. So
if he can wheel, then it doesn't matter, right? That's just his grandfather happens to, you know, be one of the most successful people, one of the most successful owners in NASCAR's top series. That's just the way it is. He didn't ask for that.
No, yeah. Does he have the best equipment going? Most likely. But, yes. Yeah, you know, good for him, man. The kid can drive. So,
yeah.
So now that we're all over the place here, let's see. What other crap did I scribble down here? Oh, yeah, this is a good one. Ross Chastain punted the 2 car, or punted the 43 car into the 2 car.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was something, man. That was lap 372. So yeah,
and the 43, his official status at the end of the race was a rear gear problem.
I wonder why. He hit that thing so hard from the back, he really ripped the pinion right off it.
Yeah.
But those are
bench parts, paperweights now.
We've converted this fine piece of machinery into a paperweight. So did you see your boy Keselowski have a little words with him too?
I did not see that.
Y'all catch that? He pulled up right next to him after it happened. You know, maybe some hand gestures were thrown, but maybe he was the guy flipping people off for a whole lap. Who knows? I don't know.
Brent, are you still feeling happy about Keselowski?
I don't know. Him not finishing that race wasn't necessarily his fault, but I don't know. He's interesting.
Let's gotta give him more time. Gotta give him more time.
Buddy. Listen, I'm hoping you don't pick another Penske driver like Adam. I just can't have that in my life. So
come on. Pays the bills, bud.
Oh god. Yeah. And you know what? They drive Fords and I'm about that, but yeah, I know. It's tough. I'm in a tough spot with that. So gentlemen, at this point in the scribble session I had, I wrote red flag, 2 cars on fire, parking lot. that was my comment. With the as Adam you described, the 1 car, the 2 car, the 17 car, the 18 car, the 21 car, the 37 car, the 38 car, the 43 car, the 48 car, 51 car, 77 car, and the 90 car. That was a Dega style collection of vehicles there parked on the backstretch.
Yeah.
So the root cause of that one was that Buescher coming down on Kyle Busch, right? That what they said? Was it Buescher?
I think so.
Pinched him down, and then they did synchronized spinning.
Yeah. It just was a bad spot of the track with too many people and couldn't see, I think, to an extent, where you needed to go. And bang.
Matty D got popped. He had that thing rode up right around the wreck on the outside, and he got drilled. He got completely destroyed. So,
he finished.
Yeah, that was something. He did.
Well,
because, you know, NASCARs can take hits at 80 miles an hour and make them drive away, right? Which is insane. So, scrolling down my scribble lots here, I had Suarez as the first care center interview after being on fire.
Right.
And then we had our Joey Logano and Truex incident there. And the 14 car, that was it. So that was the last caution we had, right? The 14 car brings out the caution. And this is where Truex brings the car up to first. He had a great pit stop. And that's the one where Blaney blew it, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Did that last pit stop? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, Truex got a good start. So it was him and Hamlin dancing on the front. And this is where I got extremely nervous. So I knew Hamlin would take off. He did on this final restart. He took off like a rocket ship, right? Took off. And, you know, he actually ran Truex down through one and two, took the lead on the backstretch and was leading, right? Hamlin was not running away with it, but, you know, just cruising with it. And I'm watching it, and Truex is building pressure in his tires, building pressure. And he admitted at the post race that he was saving, right, up until that point.
Yeah.
So, man, that 19 car came alive and he passed him clean. So I was
Hamlin,
happy to see.
That was my feeling. I felt like Hamlin used up his stuff.
He very well could have, right? And that car was quick. That he was once again right there at the end, right? Just with the Bristol race too, and just didn't have it to finish. So he's gonna get his win really soon. So Hamlin's too good not to. But yeah, my boy Martin Truex gave me a heart attack there at the end, but passed him clean. And once he got in front of him, he was gone. So,
yeah. Speaking of Hamlin, he's still got still way up, still leading points.
Well, he spanked. I mean, he still cleaned out 52 points this week to Truex's 56. So, you know,
yeah.
He got more points than Chase Elliott, who finished one spot ahead of him.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was.
He led 276 laps. I mean, people have more than half the race. It's insane.
He sure did.
Blaney was winning the other half.
Yeah, I was going to say, Blaney got plenty of points too for finishing what, 11th?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did fine, man. He had his two stage. Did he have to hit both those stage wins? Yep, one and two. He both won. So the top four in both stages was identical. By the way, I don't know if you guys caught that.
I did not. So, yeah. And Bubba Wallace was number three in points, or in laps led.
Was he?
23 Bubba? Laps. It says 23 laps he was in the lead. I didn't realize he was out front at all.
Yeah, wow. What's that also?
Bubba Wallace. Might have been napping.
I fell asleep a little bit, I guess. I don't know.
Didn't see him out front.
I like those 2311 paint jobs so far. Good looking cars.
Yeah. Definitely that. I think the whole Jordan brand and they certainly have a better design team, I'm sure, than NASCAR. Let's just leave it at that.
They might be using computers for all we know. yeah, boys, Truex brings it home in the end and did the best burnouts this season so far. So had that thing on the limiter dancing down the front stretch and flips it around and someone enjoys celebration, throws a nice cold one out there on the track and explodes. So yeah, Adam, what did you say? You said you thought parts were falling off the thing?
I thought, but yeah, like my initial thought was like, you know, we've talked about, you know, cheating in NASCAR in so many ways. So like when I seen him do the burnout and it keep going, I'm like, okay, you know, he's trying to do something to the car to, you know, put some things back into position. And then I thought maybe he just cooked it too much and something fell off. Yeah. Cause it just the way I noticed it, I looked like it was like rotating at a very high rate on camera when it came off. So I'm like, okay, like, I don't know. I don't know what it would have been like unless the drive shaft let loose or something. And you know, but obviously it was a beer can then. But yeah. In my book, Truex has, at this point, right, he definitely holds the top spot for burnout, but he also holds the last spot so far of the whatever it's been.
All right.
Phoenix was terrible. Am I wrong?
Not existing. You can't get back in the car and do it. It's bad etiquette, really.
Yeah. And it's clear that he realizes that because at this point, I mean, I'm pretty sure that engine is cooked.
Spent one, you know. Disposable in this case, but yeah, man, number first driver to win two times in this season. So hopefully, you know, like I said, after his first win at Phoenix, I'm on cruise control to the playoffs now. So this was a nice bonus for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having reminiscent thoughts of 2017, though, really am late run cars, you know, the whole thing, racing clean, which not to be expected these days anymore, you know. So,
oh boy.
We'll I'm see. Pumped. I'm pumped. Does. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know.
Like, think about it.
I'm not ready to put Martin in the championship yet.
Oh my God, you're out of your mind. That's fine. Listen, you're entitled to your opinion as a Joey Logano fan. I'm one of the three card carrying Joey Logano fans. So
fine. I own it. I own it.
You do.
I'm gonna shy away. We'll see. I don't put Joey there yet either, so we'll see.
Daniel Suarez, get ready. Playoff driver.
Yeah. You know who, so I'm impressed. At the end of the day, the guy who impressed me was Tyler Reddick, which is somebody who I've had my eye on all year for the most part. He finished in eighth.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't talk about him much. What do you like?
Oh, he just, I don't know. He just seemed to be in the right place at the right time. He started in the top 15, but he seemed to manage the race well. And that's an interesting, I feel like for a young guy, in this series, I feel like that's just, you know, that's good. He's not trying to do too much. He's not trying to make enemies. And he found himself in a top 10 in a spot like this, you know, that type of stuff is what's going to me. I mean, he's got to win at some point, but that's what's going to keep him in this series for a long time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he impressed me.
I like this sponsor. I like this sponsor too. He was in the Children's Vineyard Chevrolet. So clearly paying the bills. They're paying the bills through another. It's like a Ponzi scheme.
Listen, what sells during a pandemic? Alcohol. Right? So
yeah.
You know,
alcohol and toilet paper. And toilet paper.
And who would have known? I had no idea. Who would have known? Yeah. Oh geez. But yeah. Overall great race, man. I liked it. I liked it a lot, and definitely like we talked about early on, moving up my list of tracks to visit sooner than later. Mr. P, where are we heading? Do you know?
Richmond.
Oh boy. Of course you know.
Just what's the up. Name of the what's the name of the race?
Oh, this is something we were talking about earlier. The what is it, the Toyota Owners 400?
Yep.
That's it.
Not the Toyota Racing 400. It's I don't grasp this in my head. I think the comment I made to these guys earlier was, "What is Becky and her RAV4 sponsoring this race?"
It's Kyle Busch fan club.
It's KB fan club with their poodles in the back seat, and
so
strange. Whatever.
This must be a Japanese thing, right? Is this got to be kind of one of those nuances there? What do you think?
I don't know. It's got to be a marketing thing, marketing ploy by Toyota. You'd think
Toyota US, right? Or is that coming from the motherland? Is that coming over from the?
Nah, it's got to be US.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel the Toyota owner's name. I think there is, if I'm not mistaken, some sort of group.
Is it a dealer group?
No. I don't think it's a dealer group. I think it is, you know, vehicle owners, but it's some sort of community in a sense. Like, I think it is a thing. Like, I don't think it's fake or they're just making it up. I think it is a group that you are entered into in some way, shape, or form when you buy a Yoder.
All right. So what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna be the typical NASCAR fan, right? I'm gonna Google Toyota owners, and we're gonna see what comes up. What comes up? What's the first thing? Oh, here we go. Welcome to Toyota Owners, a place for Toyota owners to explore the benefits of owning a Toyota. Start enjoying Toyota Owners benefits today.
See?
Look at this.
So they're creating this community, right? Where I guarantee you that you can spend money in there somehow.
So let's see. I have a 1986 Toyota Corolla No. Well, it's got MR2s in here. Look at this. All right, let's say we got an MR2 from 1995. What do you got for me? ToyotaOwners.com. What are you telling me about? How to put a Honda engine in it? What are you saying? Oh, Destin had the picture. Got a picture of a Celica. See, I'm disappointed already. Oh, here, Adam, right off the bat. Here you go. To your point, Toyota Care, right? Accessory. Right, so,
yeah, it's a group, right, that you can probably be in where you get discounted things or exclusive offers, or maybe even potentially if you buy 300 Toyotas, maybe you get the ability to buy something special when it comes out, right? I don't know. Who knows? There
you go. Oh, they're advertising their floor mats with anchors, so that's a good thing. Floor mats back in the day.
Yeah.
So,
floor mats with anchors and warranty extension programs.
That's all you do.
Warranty extension program. Right. Yeah.
So that was bothering me. So I'm really glad we participated in that exercise to figure out what this actually was. So.
But Richmond, right? Yeah, Richmond. So we've been there. Aside
sure
from
have.
That, we've experienced the Richmond and you know, the local Cracker Barrel and the Denny's. I think the following day we went to.
Oh,
and,
God, I remember. I like what I liked about Richmond is we had some good seats. Right, we were in the stands for this one, and you could see the entire track.
Yeah.
So, which is cool, not something, you know, at Dega, which was insane. You could see the little tiny things moving around.
But. You could see it off in the distance, but that was such a cool experience, though, in its own right, because although the cars were so far away, you could still hear them to a point, but yet you got the track PA announcer, too, when the cars were away. Like, that was so loud. That
you could actually hear that, which is rare for a NASCAR race, right? So, yeah, Richmond was a cool place. I bought some of my first Truex gear there. And that wasn't the 56 stuff. It might have been. That might have been. No, that would have had to be Pocono. That would have been have to been the first race in Pocono I went to.
So we
for Michigan. I can't remember. Yeah.
When we went to Michigan, I think my dad made you buy a 56 sticker.
He did.
Yep. For the back of the rig.
Which was sharing a trailer with like three other different drivers, you know, the bottom feeders at that point. So,
right. Yeah. Didn't have the money for his own hauler.
The rig. That's right. You had a sticker up the rig with your driver.
Everybody who was, right. If you had a driver, you had to put your sticker on the camper. That was the. So everybody was on there. All the fans, all the guys.
Somewhere there was a junkyard with a rig in it with stickers on it.
And here in Pennsylvania, it's still there. you could probably buy it.
Someone's taking that Cummins out of it by now.
I would think so. The thing only had 30-some thousand miles. It's like 38,000 miles.
It was tuned up too, right? Did it have a tuner?
Yeah. I think it had a Banks. Yeah, had like a Banks power adder of sorts. Yeah. It ripped for a house on wheels. I mean you could go, you know, like some of those hills we were going through in West Virginia, right? I mean, we could have with that RV, we could have definitely stayed in the left lane on the gas and been blown by everybody. I mean,
we experienced that. We experienced that going to this race.
To Richmond, yeah, we were on the way home, something was up my dad's ass and he wanted to get home, and holy hell, we were on the horn in the left lane getting people to move over, giving them the hand.
He's waving them over.
Well, I'm just sitting on the couch, my feet up.
I slept. I just passed right out. I'm the worst in car rides. So
sorry.
I was just sleeping. But yeah, Richmond is a 3/4 mile.
Mm-hmm.
14 degrees of banking in the corners. So it does have the dog leg offset, like some of our super speedways do. So it's a cool track, neat track. And, you know, has been a fuel economy race in the past, but mm-hmm. I think the competition cautions that NASCAR brought in a few years ago really, really helped Richmond. So,
yeah, it's not traditionally, I think here, that's right. You said fuel economy track. I think it has a reputation of a track where you can't pass that. Also, in a sense, so we'll see how that plays out. In the past, that's historically been kind of boring.
Europe, but Yeah, we've got a. It's a good. Should be a good one. They. I was looking at the Goodyear tire notes, and the tire pressures are actually pretty even, Brent. So that kind of further supports what we've discussed in the past with, you know, kind of a flatter track, how you kind of almost set it up more like a road racing car, right?
Right. Yeah. The talking about, you know, flat tracks and jumping back to Martinsville, which I think had, was it 12 degrees, and these guys are running like, you know, just above 10 PSI on the left side tires. Left side tires are so low that the camera crew was picking up on these things flexing during pace lap, almost flat. Mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing, guys.
They're dragging the side skirts. Like,
they were low, man. That cold tire pressure. Wow. They were on the ground.
It's amazing. Yeah, without banking. Up banking in the turns, left side tires just long for the ride.
Along for the ride.
I think what plays into Richmond here, one of the notes that they talk about over the years now is that the track surface is aging here. So, kind of like Atlanta, right, where the track surface is so old, it's playing a factor in strategy. And allegedly, they're getting like 44 laps a set here.
Wow. Especially on a three-quarter, that's...
So Cup's getting nine. They're getting nine sets for the race. So I think you're very, 300 laps, right? So, or no, 400 laps. So, I mean, the strategy, again, could certainly play into the role. You know, a lot of tire changes and... I would guess the 2311 team will blow it.
Unfortunately, struggle again. We don't want to see it. We do want to see them do well, but
I do. Yeah, they have to be addressing it, right? Like, it's been a problem now for 2 months.
I think. Kind of as we discussed early in this podcast, we think, you know, this was supposed to be the first year of the new car, right? A lot would have been different, and they were going to come into the new car and, you know, it would be hunky dory. So I think they're just biding their time this year, and next year we'll see a good show from them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be a good one. This will be a good runner. Let's see, who was our previous winner here? It was Keselowski. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keselowski, and then before that, Truex. So I don't know what to say again, boys. We might have a good runoff.
We'll see. You want to do some picks?
Oh, jeez. Sure. Oh, God. Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into it.
First.
Well, I have my notes to say I went first last time.
Okay.
So, Adam, you went last week. So I want to hear what you had to say. What do you got? Who's your winner?
My winner. I don't know if I want to do my winner first.
Okay, who do you want? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be steering. Adam, which pick would you like to discuss first?
No. I don't know. I feel like I've said that a couple weeks in a row now.
Should we come back to you? You need more time?
I'm undecided on a winner at the moment, so maybe we'll just go in a different order. So we'll start. I'm going to go start with the Care Center.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that Care Center is going to be William Byron via Daniel Suarez. Suarez.
Ooh, okay. So I'll write the 24 car, and then I'll put a parenthesis and go induced. Yeah.
Because I'm getting,
gonna have some help.
I'm getting so good at the Care Center picks that I'm gonna call the incident now.
That's next level. I didn't even think of that.
He's like playing pool here.
So is it gonna be bad enough where they'll have to black flag the 99?
I mean, I don't know. You know, the 99. I don't feel like he's when he's been able to race right lately. He's been very successful. So. His name, he's getting publicity, you know, bad publicity is good publicity. So as long as that team gets publicity, they continue to get sponsorship, maybe same thing as 2311. It isn't really about this year. So, you know, hey, what's he got to lose? this race.
All right, so he'll make it look like an accident, right? He'll make it look like it wasn't completely intentional enough for a red flag or black flag. Okay, I like it.
Yeah, maybe he, maybe he left rear goes bad or something. I don't know. And just gets into the 24 car, and Byron cries like a little bitch. And
wow. So we'll Byron's gonna Kyle Busch it. Okay.
I'm gonna, for the dark horse, I'm gonna stick on the Tyler Reddick train. I really like him. I really like him. And it's just from what I said earlier, really, I have no idea what Tyler Reddick's history is here. I think he's just has a good plan and he seems to be able to execute it. So, I don't know if he can win, but I think he could put himself in position. So. We'll see if he's got the nuts to move somebody on the last lap, because that's probably what it's going to take, right?
Dude, I'm with you, man. So he's, of course, rookie last year, so he only had one running here in Richmond.
Yeah.
He started 22nd and finished 11th. So
Okay.
Not so bad. But, okay. I like it. That's what this pick is about. So going out on a limb.
So my winner, chicken dinner. I'm still undecided, to be honest with you.
Oh, would you like to come back? Would you like to come back to your winner?
There's one person when they're eating out, eating dinner somewhere that can't.
It is. Yeah. And right. But honestly, I have to go with Joey. I really do. I have to.
God,
you're gonna get mad about it. You're gonna get mad about it. But
no, I'm not upset about that. He's not my pick, so it sounds good to me.
I'm riding with my guy,
Mr. Lagana. Where's he on this? So did you look up his stats here? Do you know?
Nope.
Excellent.
There's no evidence other than my fangirl. Yeah.
So of the 23 races Joey Logano has ran, he has 2 wins. 10 top fives, 13 top tens.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I know he's won at least once here. Okay.
He likes to finish in 10th place. His average start is 10.3, and his average finish is 10.8. So, tends to get caught up in traffic there, bud. And it's funny, as of the two, actually, that's really interesting. I say that. Now look at me go. This is unbelievable. So, of his 2 wins, he won from the pole both times.
All right.
Where does funny math put up this year?
And that's, I feel like this is like, that's why I feel it's a safe pick, because I think that, like, in that, I don't know where the funny math puts him, but I can look that up real
quick. Where's he starting?
Probably, it's definitely towards the front.
He will be starting entry list, starting lineup. There it is. All right. He is starting. He's starting 5th.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
I feel like if he can get out front, I feel like this is a track like you just talked about where, fuel economy track, if they can keep the flow of the race going without too much hiccup or caution, I think that's where you're going to see him be successful here. In that environment,
I like it. I do like the pick. He's solid, man. So
it was between him and Harvick, because I feel like Harvick holds that same strategy, and I feel like he's figuring it out slowly. I feel like Harvick is maintaining good position despite the struggles.
Yeah, he's got a ton of. Almost 40 races here with 3 wins, 15 top fives, 26 top tens. So
yeah, he's the old horse in the stable.
We'll see, man. That team is struggling. So
I know.
I like your Joey pick.
All right.
Way to go, buddy.
I'm ready.
Well, would you like me to go next, Brent, or would you like to take the lead, sir?
I could take it here. I got to upset you a little bit more before you make your picks.
That's I'm fine, buddy. I'm here. I'm on the Brent train. I'm on the Brent train after picking my boy last week. So you can't do. You can only do so much harm this week.
So doing so much harm. Okay. All right. I guess we'll I'm going to start off with my dark horse because I think that's going to upset you the most. And our dark horse is going to be the guy that we love to hate, which is KB, because he's got the most wins driver there. But I also don't think
how could he be a dark horse then? He's got the most freaking wins.
He's got the most freaking wins, but he also is not having a good season. So, you know.
I would agree. Okay.
So that's kind of where I leave him. Statistically, he should win, but he's not going to. He's going to pretend something's broken on his car again and end up in, top 20. So that's why I put him there. For my care center pick, spurred on by the excitement of Martinsville, I'm going to go with Mr. Cody Ware, just because I hope he'll make it really interesting. Maybe he'll take out Suarez in the process. I don't know.
That's a 51 car. Yeah.
Yep, 51 car. Turning it around. That was the what's he got the. The Nurtec sponsorship,
but those cars, you can't even read the sponsor on those cars. They're just the craziest, pharmaceutical drugs that should be illegal, right? Like, who knows what's going on with them?
That's funny.
It's all right, this is America. We love our meds.
Oh God! Don't even get me started.
Big business.
don't even get me started.
It's big business. For my winner pick, and I think we've talked about him a fair amount tonight. I gotta go with Denny. He's been knocking on the door quite a few times this season, especially this past week. So I think he might be able to actually get it done this week.
Well, Brent picked him, so he's a freaking win.
Yeah, I picked him too. I gotta change. I gotta change my approach.
You don't have to change yet. Now you can pick Martin.
I'm going to. So, Brent, I'll read off your stats for you because I wrote them down. 28 races, 3 wins, 13 top fives, and 17 top tens. So,
that's Hamlin.
Yeah, and he's on a rip. So, good pick. Solid.
I'd like to see. I'm getting tired of FedEx. I'd like to see UPS out there somehow. Can we get them in there?
Cody Ware might be needing a new sponsor pretty soon.
Hey, UPS ain't sponsoring Cody Ware.
What can Brown do for you, man?
Yeah. Oh God, who was that? Ned Jarrett ran them forever, right? Back in the day.
I think you're right.
Yeah. They were on. Oh, I forget. Yeah, I can't remember the car.
I can see it, though. Yep,
so can I. I can see the Ford Taurus. It was a Taurus.
Ford Taurus.
God.
Best-selling car in America for a while.
I remember when those came out, when that rounded body style with the circular headlights. That's the one I'm talking about, right? And my sister was like, that was the car she wanted. She wanted the Ford Taurus, And, it's interesting how that played out. She didn't get that, even though her father owned two Ford dealerships.
Oh, dude, the Tauruses. And and later in life, I realized that the interior was just as round as the exterior. And we're like, what is going on? Who signed off on this on the inside?
The 90s, like early 90s Ford interiors, are almost as bad as current day GM interiors.
Almost as bad as current day. Wow, interesting.
Statement. I'm with you, man. It's some of this stuff, like the round radio bezel. You're like, what? Like, oh, God, what are you doing?
So what you're saying, Brent, is since the auto industry community is fairly small, right? It's not massive. It's very concentrated in one area where you guys are. You're saying that perhaps maybe the 90s Ford designers and people who signed off on it maybe made their way to General Motors in 2020?
Very, very well could have. Very well could have.
That's funny.
The panel gaps that were like a mile long, it's like
standards. Standards
come a long way. came a very long way. But, you know, who can beat the 3-liter, man? The 3-liter, single cam and then dual cam? What a powerhouse. What a powerhouse.
Only you would say that.
They run forever, man. They run forever. You still see them around Detroit once in a while.
I was going to say, I don't see them around here.
they've all returned to the earth in the form of rust in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they're long gone.
We don't have inspections, so it's all good.
Oh, right. Some of this stuff. I saw a Festiva for sale the other day. Yeah, that's our picks. I think that's a good list. I hope I'm right with my pick in 19, but I don't like doing that. I think it's bad juju. But I do have a lucky shirt now, so we're riding the lucky shirt game. So hopefully, good things.
So there's a truck race too. There's a truck race on the Saturday, and you know, Brent, you talked about Kyle Busch. He's running again in the trucks, and he'll definitely be out front for sure in the truck race, and I think that bodes well for his chances this weekend when he's running both races, right?
I agree. I think the more practice he gets, and we realize, right, when he has not had practice, he does not run well. So I think that's a good one. Definitely a great pick.
Interesting.
I hate to see it, but, you know,
yeah, what can you do? Yeah, hopefully his driver, Mr. Nemechek, can stay in front of him.
Well, yeah, he's proven he'll let him pass him during the stage wins, but, you know, make him go backwards to win the race.
I just want to, maybe I'll cue up the radio, Kyle Busch radio, for the truck race and just see how much he's just bitching about his own team. You know, how terrible the truck is. Because he's done that before.
Yeah.
I can't believe we brought this here. What a piece of shit. You know, the whole thing. And it's just, we might have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be. Is Nemechek running? I know his wife had a baby.
Let's take a look. Not sure. This is the Toyota Care 250. Toyota's took out the checkbook for this one.
Yeah. Nemechek's running. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you know, you got the whole Toyota setup. You know, it's basically the Kyle Busch fan club 400 and 250. So, you know, I mean, the writing's on the wall here.
He's actually running a clown car, if you realize. Did you guys see that? Did you catch that? Not even kidding. So, take a look at the paint job he's running for the Toyota owner's 400 in the cup side of it. He has... It came with his little side article. It says Red Nose Day scheme for Kyle Busch at Richmond. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yep. He's wearing the good old. Don't worry. It's still an M&M's car. Which is, you know, a good family company, right? So.
Yep. Chase Briscoe in the Global Mustang Week Ford. What's that all about? What's Global Mustang Week?
Hmm. Hitting pedestrians?
Oh my god.
Hey, track's hot.
Family Nobody podcast.
The, no, yeah, track's hot. Stay off the track.
Well, I did see a demon flip a Silverado on the internet this week, leaving some kind of a meet, which was awesome. So I expect to see the Dodges slowly take over that role. I do.
Oh, that's for true. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, as they devalue and more of the regular people make poor financial decisions.
They're sticking 700 horsepower in anything they can get to fit in over there, which is awesome. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, right. It's
also
great.
Ludicrous, but
as long as Tesla's got credits to sell, Dodge will keep doing it. Oh god. All right, so let's see. So
it's going to take 30 or 40 years before the people who don't want to buy those cars cycle out, you know. So.
Oh God, yeah. So they just did a quick Google. I thought this was true. I just wanted to verify it before I spoke out loud. So of the top highest, so in Michigan, the vehicles with the highest claims for total vehicle theft. Two of them on the top 10 are the Dodge Charger Heavy and the Challenger SRT Hellcat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might explain why every single one of those I see is being driven like it's stolen, because it probably is.
Yeah, statistically, yeah, the ones you see, right?
Oh, my. It's just like, what are you doing? This list is just, oh, God. So the base Challenger's on here, too, along with the Chrysler 300 and the Charger four-wheel drive. So,
wow,
not a good look. Nissan Maxima, though. I don't know if they're still making those.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, ever since they started going CVTs, I haven't really cared about what Nissan's been doing. Nope. To be honest here.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. But yeah, it'll be a good one, boys.
For sure. Yeah, I'm excited. We'll see what happens. What time's the race?
3 o'clock when the race broadcast starts. So probably 3:30 or so when they get going.
It's a good time. I'm good with that.
Is there rain in the forecast? Let's see.
I'm sure there is. Answer is yes.
I have to look it up, but yeah, we'll see.
We got to tap our meteorologist.
Yeah, where's Drew? We got to dial Drew in here just for
maybe I'll get him a.
Maybe next. Maybe next week we can get a celebrity call.
And, well, especially for Talladega, because they ain't drying that track. So.
Oh God, no! Yeah.
Maybe you're that firsthand.
Yeah.
Have him dial in.
Yeah. So. All right, boys. I think that's probably good, huh?
I say we covered it. I say we get another 19 win next week, and we continue this freight train.
He's all about it.
Got to win in the fall. Got to win in the fall.
Don't worry about a thing. Unless they catch him cheating, then I'm going to start worrying, but we'll be all right. If you ain't cheating, ain't trying.
What do we say?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We're growing slowly, but we are growing. So thanks for everybody jumping on and listening to us ramble on. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, find us at Left Is Right Pod on Twitter. And I will be happy to answer any of your questions. If you feedback too, or you want to tell us how awesome we are, we'd love to hear it. or the other way. So, guys, keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down. And everybody pull for Truex again.
Go Logano.
Yeah, whatever.